You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a weekly discussion with leaders around the Midwest about how they adapt and persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, and welcome to Forward Ever. I'm Gary Shorman. It's good to have you with us on our program today because something that is vital to each of us, the blood that we have inside us. And the Red Cross lives in the world of trying to collect blood. And our guest today is Matthew Trotter of the American Red Cross. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Hey, doing good. I've just learned over the last few days that there's quite a need for blood, and I'll say crisis mode, but it sounds to me like you kind of live in a crisis mode for blood. Is that correct?
So we've certainly had quite a stretch lately of, well, we did declare our first ever national blood crisis in January of this year. And just recently, in the past couple of weeks, we have seen the blood supply improve enough that we're not using the term crisis anymore. The inventory has gotten a lot better. We've had hundreds of thousands of generous donors step up across the U.S. and give blood since we declared that blood crisis. So the inventory is better, but we are still saying that the blood supply remains vulnerable. And we do still need people to schedule their next blood or platelet donation to help ensure patients receive the care that they need, or to schedule their first blood or platelet donation. A small proportion of the eligible population in the United States gives blood, and the more people that are eligible that donate, the better.
When you mentioned the different levels, what are the levels when you look at it on a scale? You mentioned crisis and a couple others. Are there some, like the red flag warnings when it's, you know, really bad, you know, the flag straight out in red all the way down to green? What are the levels of need at the Red Cross for blood?
Sure. So in a perfect world, in an ideal world where everybody's getting what they need, we would have a five-day supply of blood and blood products on the shelf, ready to go to hospitals. That takes care of everything from trauma victims coming into an emergency room to cancer patients who need ongoing treatment, sickle cell patients who need regular infusions, the whole gamut of medical need we can cover with that five-day supply. While we were in a blood crisis, we had a one-day supply on the shelf a lot of the time. Sometimes it was less than a one-day supply. So at this point, we have seen the blood supply recover. And typically we see 4 days on the shelf right now. 3 days is sort of the minimum level where we say, okay, things are good, but obviously they could be better. So that's sort of what we look at when we think about the blood supply and we consider declaring something like a blood crisis.
So what happened during the pandemic?
Well, you know, we definitely saw a drop off in donors during the pandemic. From the start of 2019 to just recently, we saw our donor base drop by 10%. And then you have to imagine that when people are sick, they can't come and donate. Obviously, when you have thousands and thousands of known new COVID infections a day, that's going to affect how many people can come in. And then we also had our own challenges with staff when it came to COVID. Sick phlebotomists can't come in to draw the blood. And so what we saw was a pandemic-driven drop-off in donors. We saw our own staffing challenges that I'm sure a lot of businesses around the United States noticed themselves. We just didn't have enough people sometimes to carry out the operations. And that was on top of sort of the usual things that we see. Holidays come up and not as many people come in to donate blood. School starts up again and not as many people come in to donate blood. Speaking of schools, that was another big challenge for us during the pandemic. With the restrictions that some educational institutions were putting in place, we couldn't go on campuses for blood drives. And that's really a big, big source of blood products for the Red Cross. From 2019, we saw school blood drives, that's at high schools and colleges, decline almost 2/3. And our Gen Z donors, the ones that we reach through those drives, they dropped from being 1 in 4 donors to being 1 in 10 donors. And so you add all of those pandemic effects together, and you can kind of see how we got into the crisis that we were in and how a turn in the pandemic could cause us more problems in the future.
You know, that crisis you talked about is really the worst in over a decade, probably brought on, like you talk about, by people just getting out of practice or the systems just changing during COVID. What about on the national level there, or even local level? There's so many stories out there that really kind of take the focus of the news media. Do you ever have trouble getting your story out or really getting the national blood level of supply, that story out?
So I think that reporters and news outlets were actually really responsive to this for the most part. You know, it's a difficult story to tell, and it's a difficult message to get across over a long period of time. Certainly when you declare a blood crisis in January, come February, we're still in a crisis, and we know there's a certain amount of fatigue from news outlets and from the public hearing that we're in a crisis, and the message just doesn't hit as hard as it did. But I think that news outlets and the public really took this one to heart. We saw an immediate uptick in donors when we declared a blood crisis. And the concern was that immediate jump in donors wouldn't translate over the long term. You know, we would get a sudden surge in donors, take care of things for a couple of weeks, and then we'd be right back in crisis again. But what we've seen is people really take this message, this blood crisis, to heart and understand the precariousness of the blood situation in the United States. And what we're hoping is people don't think we're constantly in a crisis because things are okay right now, but people just remember that the blood supply is vulnerable and it does count on the generosity of people to step up and donate blood, and especially to do it on a regular basis.
So how, bring it close to home, how has the shortage affected us in Kansas?
So we did get some stories of hospitals not getting everything they needed. We did hear about some procedures being delayed, and we're not talking about the most serious procedures that, you know, somebody in trauma care couldn't get a unit of blood or something, but we're talking about somebody with a serious condition that needs treatment, maybe needing to see that treatment spread out a little bit longer. In fact, one of our employees in blood services, her own mother, went to the hospital a couple months ago, and she had to wait to get blood for an injury that she had had during a fall. You know, something that we would have seen taken care of in a day or maybe two. She ended up in the hospital for an entire week waiting for the blood that she needed to get better. And so we hate hearing those stories. We absolutely understand that the crisis drove us to that point. And we're really glad that we aren't hearing those stories right now. And we hope that we continue not to.
Matt Trotter is our guest today. He is with the Red Cross, Regional Communications Director for the Red Cross here in Kansas. We'll be back with more with Matt after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back with our guest, Matt Trotter. Matthew is with the American Red Cross, and he's a regional communication director. And one of the things I know people talk about is some of the incentives that are out there that you can get Krispy Kreme donuts or maybe a gift card if you give blood today. How does that work with incentives? Because sometimes you just have to get people into the habit, but that sometimes takes some special incentives or different ways to entice the public. How do you guys go about doing that?
We have a lot of partners that step up to offer these things. It's a really generous move on their part, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate just even the little offers that bring people in. You know, like you mentioned, the donuts, Krispy Kreme partnered with us, and well, they actually offer this to all blood donors in the U.S., not just Red Cross, but all blood donors, that they would give a free dozen donuts to people who gave blood during a certain week. And, you know, we see the social media chatter about some of these promotions. People get excited. Some people get disappointed that they just missed out on the free dozen donuts. I know that I would be disappointed if I missed out on those myself. But we also see the comments about, you know, isn't this counter to what should be happening? You know, either why are we offering something unhealthy as an incentive, or why are we offering an incentive at all? And the answer is it just takes a little encouragement sometimes to get certain people to come in. We know there are dedicated blood donors who will keep their appointments no matter what. And they give every 56 days or however often they're eligible for the product that they give. But then we know there are other people who maybe they haven't donated before, or maybe they're just an occasional donor and they need some kind of reminder, some sort of encouragement to bring them in. So we appreciate companies like Krispy Kreme and this month, Fanatics and Major League Baseball for offering these partnerships. This month we were offering a $10 e-gift card to people thanks to Fanatics. All they had to do was come in to donate and they would get that gift card emailed to them. And then Major League Baseball was offering a chance to win a trip for two to the All-Star game in Los Angeles, airfare and hotel included. And so, you know, a lot of people see those and go, hey, why not? Could be me. And of course, the Red Cross has its t-shirts and everything that it gives out. But I think for the most part, the generosity of donors is the key thing. And maybe some of them just need a little nudge to make an appointment with us and come in.
Where should our listeners go to find out about where the blood level is, if they have some interest in finding out? What are the best places to go look?
So we don't actually have a forward-facing system showing people what the blood supply is doing right now. So yeah, unfortunately, that's just not something that we've got. But we
you
try.
You can go, though, you to the redcrossblood.org, correct? And then there's americasblood.org and savealivenow.org. Those are all some websites that talk about the importance of blood and donating blood, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And all of those are great sources of information. Redcrossblood.org. You can schedule your appointment. You can find blood drives in your community. You can learn about the latest giveaway that's going on. You can learn a lot about blood donation and the process, what happens with your donated blood. You can sign up to host a blood drive if you're interested in that. One thing during the pandemic was, like I said, the school and college blood drives, but also employers that had people working remotely. We lost out on some of those opportunities to run blood drives at workplaces. And so if you're in a position where you have some open space and some time to spare during a day, you can host a blood drive on your property.
Well, Matt, you've given some good examples here. Do we ever have too much blood?
I don't think anybody would ever tell you that we had too much blood, Gary.
So go out and check online, find a place to go donate, and especially keep an eye on, because there's so many things going on in today's world that it is so important that the volunteer effort is just amazing. How this has continued to be a volunteer effort, while there may be incentives, you guys don't pay for blood. You don't pay people to come in. So it's a volunteer effort. And if people pay attention, they'll know when it's the right time for them to give. And in some cases, if they've never given before, may take that first step and say, it's now my turn to do something good.
Absolutely. And we know that needles are scary for some folks. Our people are the best. And, if you want to help somebody, you just got to push through that fear a little bit, and it's pretty easy.
Very good. Matt Trotter is our guest today on Forward Ever. Matt's the Red Cross Regional Communications Director. Matt, thanks for being here, and thanks to you for listening. Forward Ever is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, where you can live with confidence. I'm Gary Shorman.
Thanks for listening to Forward Ever, sponsored by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families. And by Eagle Creative, a full-service marketing agency serving Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. If you have a great suggestion for a future guest for the program, you can email Gary at gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. That's gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. For Whatever is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.